have our scripture reading by Samantha. It's in the book, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through 15.
But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So on this Thanksgiving Sunday, it is a time to take a moment to be thankful for the things that God has placed in our lives. I call it an abundance of thanksgiving. As you see, during children's time, even the children easily named things they were thankful for family, for sisters, for pets, for nature around them. It's so wonderful to see that we can be so thankful for so many things. But I want us to remember, as Christians, as disciples of Christ, the thing we must remember to be most thankful for is the love that we have from God, received through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I ask that these words speak your truth, to reveal the scripture to us, to know the reflections. For we ask, Lord, that our reflections be acceptable in your sight. For you are our creator, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. So this season, I call it, when you have Thanksgiving and even Christmas time, a season of abundance. Wherever you go, wherever you look, whatever you do, there are so many things that remind you about the Thanksgiving and Christmas season. If you've been in the stores, you've seen Thanksgiving displays, and you've probably even already seen Christmas displays. I went to Target recently, and I know the whole back section they've prepared for the Christmas displays. If you watch TV shows, there's Thanksgiving episodes, and they're preparing for Christmas episodes as well. Lifetime and some other cable stations are already showing Christmas movies. One of my favorite TV shows, as I mentioned in the past, is Fresh Off the Boat. They even had a Thanksgiving episode. And in this episode, the family, they own a restaurant, a steakhouse restaurant called Cattleman's Ranch, which is pretty ironic, they say, for a family in the 80s, an Asian family owning a steakhouse restaurant. But the wife of the family, a very smart Asian businesswoman, decides to open the restaurant on Thanksgiving Day to make more money. She's like, it can be a buffet of food. And they even raffle off a live turkey, or fresh turkey, although they forget to mention that it's a live turkey. Technically, it is fresh. But even in this Thanksgiving episode, at the end, the mother has a change of heart, and she realizes Thanksgiving isn't about making money and trying to get the most customers into the restaurant, but it's about being with family and friends, and she lets everyone in the restaurant have the dinner for free. There's also so many abundance of food. If you watch the TV shows, there's all these cooking shows, the Great Christmas Bake Off, the Cake Wars, and all these things with food themes. And if you remember, I've talked in the past about that famous dish, the turducken, the turkey that is filled with a duck inside it, and then inside the duck there's a chicken. Sorry for the vegans and vegetarians in our midst today. The turducken is a great thing. But I discovered another new food. It's called the piecaken. Have you heard of that? The piecaken is four layers of cake. The bottom layer is pecan pie, the next layer is apple pie, the next layer, the third layer is pumpkin pie, and these three layers of pie are surrounded by a ginger spice cake and frosting, the piecaken. Definitely an abundance of food in our midst. Hope I'm making you hungry so you can all come to the Thanksgiving luncheon after the Chinese service. And in this season of Thanksgiving and as we head into Christmas, we know that there is abundance all around us in TV shows, in stores, in the food that we eat and will buy for the next few weeks, and even in church, we will begin to celebrate with abundance. We do ask that you think about giving to the church in stewardship ways, that hopefully you received a Thanksgiving letter, and we ask that you are generous and share of your own abundance with the church finances. So turn in that offering envelope either this Sunday or next Sunday or even in the following Sundays. Be sure to put Thanksgiving offering in the memo line if you are able. But as we also look at abundance and how we have so many blessings in our life, we must remember the greatest abundance we have. As Christians, as people who have Christ in our hearts, the greatest abundance we have is God's love and mercy for us. God's love and mercy for us made available through Jesus Christ for us. As disciples, we must realize we have this abundance of faith then in our life. And we must not just keep that faith to ourselves, to keep the abundance to ourselves, but to share it with the world. To know that we believe in our Lord, to speak of our Lord, and to increase thanksgiving for our Lord, as we were reminded in this morning's passage. We know that we are disciples of Christ, and we affirm that God is our Lord and Savior, and we also follow the Lord. People have done this for many centuries. Even the first Christians said they did this and followed this. But we know that there was turmoil. In this morning's passage from 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the people of Corinthians, reminding them that they are of the same spirit of faith, and that in accordance to that, they believe and they speak. We must believe and we must speak. When Paul was writing to the people of Corinth, they say that there were not just two letters, as we have in our Bible, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, but there might actually be four letters that Paul wrote to the people of Corinth. Now, you know, when you get a letter from a famous or a leader, you might be in trouble, and that might have been the case for the city of Corinth. We also know that Paul himself didn't visit Rome when he wrote the letter to the Romans in the book of Romans. But Paul had visited Corinth. He had been a key leader in helping to start the church in Corinth. So it makes sense that he wrote them not just one, not just two, but possibly even four letters. There's a passage in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 1 to 4, that he talks about saying, "I made up my mind to visit you, to make another painful visit. For I wrote to you out of much distress and anguish, with heart and many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you." This passage is what we call the letter of tears. Paul is writing of the pain he is feeling for the city of Corinth. He is saying that he has such abundant love for them that he has even shed many tears. There is an allusion then to another letter that he wrote, but we see none of that in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, so that is why there is a theory that there were other letters that he wrote to the people of Corinth. But we see that Paul is seeing the pain that is happening in the city, where the people, yes, are living an abundant life. As I've said before, the city of Corinth is kind of like Los Angeles, a very decadent city. This Thanksgiving, I will go with my husband, Phil, to his family in Kingwood, Texas. It's a much more smaller town, more simpler life, filled of beautiful forest trees and lots of lawns and gardens. The kids would love it, all the kids with their flowers and garden things for. But a simple life, there's just one store in their town. They finally got a movie theater a couple of years ago. And Kingwood, Texas, it's suburban. It's not far from Houston, Texas, but it's a much slower pace. And then I come back to L.A., and, you know, we have sidewalks everywhere and movie theaters everywhere and all these things in an urban town. So imagine Corinth more like an urban town. Everything was instant. Everything was accessible. They were a thriving urban city full of commerce. But when those things were successful and as those things were happening, the people of Corinth were losing faith. They began to not continue the right practices, to not worship and be thankful for God as daily as they should have. They were beginning to bicker amongst each other about who would be leaders and how the church would be led. And they were even still following some pagan ways from the past or from the Roman Empire around them. The people of Corinth were in trouble. So Paul is writing to them to remind them of the abundance of God's grace and love and mercy that they have. So when he says to them, they are of the same spirit and of the same faith, that in accordance to the scripture, "I believed, so I spoke," reminding them of the words that Jesus once said, "I believed, so I spoke," he says, "So also we believe, and also we speak." And on this Sunday, as we give thanks for the many things that we have in our lives, we must remember ourselves to believe and to speak about what we believe. Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14 to say, "Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and bring us into his presence. What a wonderful thing to think about, that God is so great that he raised his son who he sacrificed for us, and gave his son a seat at the throne with him, and we ourselves will receive a seat with God to have eternal life. That is such a great blessing. If you were to write on the back of your worship bulletin a list of blessings that you have, I ask that that be the very first thing you write. Eternal life with God, salvation made possible through Jesus Christ. That should be the top blessing that you list on any time when you think about your blessings. We know that we must strive to be good people then. Jesus says in Luke 6, verse 45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil that is stored in his heart. But the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. We must have a heart full of abundance, a heart that is full of good things, to surround ourselves with good things and good people, to be doing good actions and good deeds, and to always have good thoughts to draw closer to God. And then our heart will be full of good things, so that when we speak, yes, we believe what's in our heart, but we must also speak, as Paul says, to share what is in our heart, our faith and our belief, then our heart will be full of good things, and that we can share those good things with the world. We must also be thankful for all that we have so that we can increase the thanksgiving with the glory of God. As Paul closes this morning's passage in his letter to the Corinthians, he says to them, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Paul is reminding the people of Corinth, and we are reminded today that we have grace. But this grace we must not keep, but we must extend it to more and more people, so that we may increase thanksgivings for the glory of God. For we must give grace to others to give glory to God. Jesus is the means of the grace that we receive. His death on the cross is the means for the grace that we receive. His resurrection is the glory of grace that we receive. And if you look at the Gospels, and if you are a biblical scholar, you might notice an interesting thing about the word grace. They see in the Greek translation for the Bible, the word grace in the gospel itself, the four gospels, actually only shows up four times. And those times that it shows up, it's not Jesus saying grace, but it's a story that he's saying about grace. So Jesus himself doesn't technically say the word grace in the gospels. So then how can you think, this Jesus, who never says the word grace himself, how is he then our way of grace to God? That's kind of a confusing story. But they say instead that Jesus showed grace. He may not have verbally said the word grace himself, but he showed it in so many wonderful ways. And from him, we can see the example of how we must live our life to show the abundance of God's love that we have in our hearts to the people in this world, just as Jesus did. For we know that Jesus showed grace by just showing up. He went to where the lepers were. He went to the tax collectors who were hated. He went to the places where the people were low. And he worshiped with them. He spoke to them. He broke bread and he ate with them. Jesus showed grace by just showing up and being present. We also know that Jesus showed grace by always proclaiming his love for God and the rule of God's kingdom here on earth. Even from his birth, we know in the stable, many people came and witnessed the love of God. The shepherds, the kings, the people around who were present, proclaiming the love of God even at Jesus' birth and throughout his life in ministry as an adult. He also told many stories of grace. We know the parables of grace that he told, of the lost sheep that were found because of God's love for the sheep, who were the people in a way, of the many ways that Jesus told how grace is spread out throughout the world. And last, we know that Jesus, even though he didn't say the word grace, he also gave grace. He fed people. He clothed people. He taught his disciples how to give grace to others by giving grace to them as well. We must continue to then follow in Jesus' footsteps, to be so thankful for the abundance of grace that we have in our lives, that we then also show up to the places where we are needed, that we also proclaim God's love for all people to those who need to hear this message, and then we also tell the stories of grace and give grace to others. So this Thanksgiving, as you sit down at your table with your family and friends this coming Thursday, or even a simple meal by yourself, take the time to think about God, to be thankful for the blessings in your life, but that greatest blessing, that top of your list blessing, that abundance of grace and love that God gives you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Be thankful for that and discern and pray about ways that you can then show grace to the world, as Paul reminds people in Corinthians, so that with Jesus we will bring his presence into the world by continuing to be thankful for the abundance of grace and the thanksgiving that we have in our lives, to believe about our Lord, to speak about our Lord, and to increase the thanksgivings that we receive from our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, in this short message we hear about the abundance of thanksgiving, the overflowing love and mercy that we have received from you, may we not just store it in our hearts, but share it with the world through our actions, through our words, through the way that we remain committed to you, Lord. We also ask that you continue to guide us and that you continue to fulfill our call that you have for us when you created each and every one of us. We are so thankful for the many things in our lives, but the greatest thing that we are thankful for is the gift of your Son, who through him, eternal life, salvation, your love, and grace is available. In his name, amen.